It's lovely to be with you this morning. I heard your pastor when I was 11 or 12, I think, for the first time, and that's about 30 years ago, so you can guess how old I am, and you also know from that your pastor's been around a long time. But I'm going to speak to you from Romans chapter 7, partly from the verses on the screen there, but I might jump around into chapter 8 a bit as well. But over the last month or so, the Rugby World Cup has been on the television. And I quite like rugby, and I'm glad it's over, because for me, the rugby's been a distraction. And particularly last Sunday, some people weren't in church on Sunday morning because there was a rugby match on. So I'm glad it's over because rugby's a distraction. But I do like rugby, and I like watching it. For my wife, she's glad the rugby's over. And she's glad it's over because she hates rugby. Now, imagine this evening. I'm preaching somewhere else tonight. Imagine I turned up and I began with a little anecdote about how I hate rugby. And I said, I hate rugby because it's kept people away from church. This morning I've said, I like rugby. I go somewhere tonight and I say, I hate rugby. You would say, you've contradicted yourself. And I want us to look at a contradiction in this passage. So in verse 12, the Apostle Paul says this. Verse 12, so then, the law is holy. There we are, I've got the right translation. The law is holy, and the commandment is holy, righteous, and good. So the Apostle Paul loves God's law. So by the law, you can, if you like, just think of the Ten Commandments. You might just struggle to name all the I Ams. You might struggle to list all of the Ten Commandments, but you'll be able to remember some. Paul says, think of the law. Isn't the law wonderful? It is holy and righteous and good. But this won't be on the screen, but let me read to you from chapter 8 and verse 2. At the end of verse 2 in chapter 8, Paul says this. He calls the law of sin and death. Well, Paul, isn't that a contradiction? He says the law is wonderful. It's holy and righteous and good. In the Old Testament, there are songs about the law. Psalm 19, David sang about the law. He said the law was more precious than gold. It was sweeter than honey. And that's what Paul sounds like there in chapter 7, verse 12. But then in chapter 8, he says the law of sin and death. Doesn't sound very positive, does it? So what's Paul talking about? Is this a contradiction? Well, I think to understand it, we need to look. Just look at verse 7. Verse 7 in chapter 7, Paul says this, is the law sinful? So is the law a bad thing? He says, certainly not. Nevertheless, I would not have known what sin was had it not been for the law. So he says the law is good. The problem is not with the law. The problem is with me. Because what does the law do? The law shines a light on the kind of person I am. When some of my children were younger, I used to read a story to them at bedtime, and the story was about a family that went to the dentist. And when they got to the dentist made them put some stuff on their teeth. And what did that stuff do? It showed up all the plaque and all the dirt and all the nastiness on their teeth. It exposed where they hadn't been very thorough with their tooth brushing, whatever you call it. When they scrubbed away, they had missed patches, and this stuff showed up all the dirt. And Paul says that's what the law does. If it hadn't been for the law, then I wouldn't have known that I was a sinner. And so Paul says, yes, the law is holy, it is righteous, and it's good, but it's also the law of sin and death. By that, he doesn't mean the law is a bad thing, but he means it's the law of sin because it shines a light on my sin. It's the law of death because the wages of sin, Paul says, what do you earn from your sin? You earn death. And therefore, this law is the law of sin and death. Now, look on into verse 9. Look at how Paul puts it there. In verse 9, he says this, once I was alive apart from the law. What does he mean by that? I think he simply means this. Once I was happy. Once I was walking along and everything was okay in my life. Now, Paul was a Jew. and he was a devout Jew. And when he was a little boy, he'd have been in the synagogue learning various things about the law of God. He knew the law, but he says, once I was alive apart from the law. What he means is, once I didn't really understand the law. Once I thought everything was fine in my life, I was okay. But when the commandment came, sin sprang to life and I died. Over the summer, we were away from home. And on the Sunday when we were away, we went to another church. We went to a church in Newcastle where my wife's sister lives. And we went to that church. And it was about the time when my wife had a new phone. Now that's a dangerous thing, taking a new phone to a church you've never been to before. And halfway through the service, this music I didn't recognize started coming from somewhere near me, and it came from my wife's bag, and then she's scrambling around with her phone for what seemed like half an hour, but it was probably only 30 seconds, but she was trying to turn it off. The phone was in her bag, and it sprang to life. The phone had always been there, but something, somebody calling or whatever it was, made it spring to life. Now that's what Paul is saying here. Sin had always been in his life, but when the law came, when the command came, it sprang to life, just like that phone. Suddenly, you couldn't help but notice it was there. You couldn't ignore it any longer. That's what Paul says. There was sin in his life, but suddenly the law came, and it meant he couldn't ignore it any longer. Sin sprang to life when the commandment came. Sin sprang to life and I died. His happiness, if you like, ended. He suddenly realized there was a problem. Oh, I wonder, has that ever happened to you? Do you realize there's a problem? It might be you know the commands, you've heard the commands, you recognize they're good. You say, well, yes, it's probably a good thing that people don't kill others. Thou shalt not kill, that's probably a good thing. You agree with it. But suddenly, something happens, the law really comes, and it springs to life. Somewhere else, down in verse 14, so that will be on the screen, but Paul says, we know that the law is spiritual. What does that mean? Well, he means there's more to the law than we think. So we know that killing someone, well, that's wrong. But the Lord Jesus Christ expounded the depths of the law. He said, don't even be angry. So that's killing someone. When you kill someone's reputation, when you say something bad, you spread some gossip because you don't want other people to think well of someone else. You're guilty of breaking the law, Jesus says. Sin springs to life. For Paul, it was this thing called covetousness. You shall not covet. He said, when that came to me, sin sprang to life. I realized my sin was something inward. I desired things more than I desired God. And therefore, the law sprang to life. I realized I was a sinner. And so what's the conclusion of this? The conclusion of it is really in chapter 8. At the beginning of chapter 8, Paul says, the law was powerless to do something. He says this in verse 3. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. What does Paul mean? He says, look, here's the law. There's nothing wrong with the law, but he says here in chapter 8, the law has been weakened by the flesh. Do you see what he's saying? Imagine a beautiful bit of music. We've had somebody playing the piano this morning. Imagine you presented the pianist with a new piece of music. And it's beautiful. It's the most lovely melody you've ever heard. It's got wonderful patterns of chords and harmonies. And it's moved you. You've played it on the internet or something. And you bring it to church. Play this. This is wonderful. But the poor pianist, it's the first time she's seen it. And what happens, I can say this because I try and struggle with the piano myself sometimes, you make mistakes. You play through the music for the first time, and maybe it will take a bit of practice. a bit of half an hour practice where you play it four or five times until you get it right. Now, my point is, there's nothing wrong with the music. The music is beautiful. The problem is with the pianist. And that's what Paul is saying. That's what he's been saying throughout chapter 7 and into chapter 8. He says, here's the law of God. The law is beautiful. It is holy and righteous and good. But as he says here in chapter 8, it's weakened by the flesh. It's weakened by who I am. Just like a beautiful piece of music, someone makes mistakes. The problem is not with the music, it's with the pianist. So it is with the law of God. The problem is not with the law. The problem's with me. Now, do you recognize that problem with yourself? That here is God's law, and suddenly you're awake to it. You realize there are greater depths to it. The Lord Jesus Christ says, do not commit adultery. And then he expounds what that means. If you look at a woman and lust after her, and suddenly you realize the depths of the law, and you realize you are a serial adulterer, you are guilty. The problem is not with the law. The problem is with me and my failure to keep it. Martin Luther, who was a man who lived about 500 years ago, and he preached some powerful truths. He recovered the Bible, as it were, and started preaching what the Bible said 500 years ago. He had this little illustration. He said, imagine a sick man, and a man is sick, and for whatever reason, this sick man thinks, he looks at some wine on the table in his house, and he thinks the wine is what he needs to make him better. But a doctor comes, and he gives him a prescription, and he says, you don't need the wine. What you need is this other medicine that I'm offering you. But the sick man wants the wine. Now, the problem is not with the wine. The doctor says, yes, the wine is lovely. The wine is good. But it's not what will make you better. And that's what Paul is saying here. The law is good. Paul would sing along in Psalm 19. He would sing the words of Psalm 19, that the law is more precious than gold and sweeter than honey. But he's saying here, the law is not the medicine you need to make you better. Because there's a problem with yourself, and you cannot keep the law. And keeping the law, your attempts to keep the law, will always fail. Because all the law does is it shines its light upon your sin. It shines its light upon your life. The lights came on, didn't they, just before we started? Sometimes in our chapel, we've got a balcony that goes all the way around. Nobody sits up there. But sometimes when I'm preaching, I can I look up there and you see lots of dirt and you think, well, somebody needs to get up there and clean things. But maybe if we dim the lights a little, then it wouldn't look so bad. But the lights come on and it exposes the dirt. Here, our dirt is exposed by the law of God. And so what does God do that the law cannot do? It says this. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, so the law can't save me. It can't make me right with God. My problem with God is my sin. God is pure. I am dirty. The law, my efforts to try and keep God's commands, I can't do it. The problem's not with the law. The problem's with me. But it's been weakened by the flesh. God did. So what the law was powerless to do, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh. You see, Paul begins chapter 8 by saying, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I deserve punishment for my sin. But Paul says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because he's punished the sin of his people in his son. God sent his own son to die, and he takes the punishment of sinners like you and me. Now, does that mean that's the end of the law? Well, verse 4 says Paul had a purpose. God has a purpose. In order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us. You see, God saves me. if I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, because Christ died for my sin, and so Jesus can save me from punishment, which is right and proper because I'm a sinner. But he also saves me from the power of sin itself. He saves me to change me, so that this lovely law, so that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us. Imagine a train. A train runs on tracks. The tracks are God's law. The law is good. It shows us the right way to live. If we walk on those tracks, if we go in the direction of those tracks, we will live a life that is satisfying. A train goes on tracks, but a train needs power to go. The Holy Spirit comes to every believer, just like a train needs fuel to make it move along those tracks. So the Christian is changed. The law is powerless. The law is just words on a page. But we need power to fulfill it. Well, that is given by the power of the Holy Spirit, who is given to every believer who trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ. I think we're going to sing now. I'm not sure what we're going to sing, but we'll sing and then I'll pray.